Hello, fantasy managers. Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast here on the Pitcherless Podcast Network. My name is Carson Picard. I'll be your host for this weekend edition of the pod. Let's get into everything baseball related from Saturday, July 18th. And we will start with the news and notes. I'm going to keep it a little brief because basically there is a million different baseball updates that's just like, hey, this guy that's been on the IL is trying to get back. And so I'm going to cut down the recovery updates and everything a little bit. I'll just go over the main rehab updates and stuff like that, so I'm not boring you with a bunch of random pitchers that threw bullpen sessions. But the big headline news is one I absolutely have to talk about, and that is Brandon Woodruff having shoulder surgery. This was speculated for a bit. It is confirmed. He is going to be out for the year, likely out next year, likely out, period. It's a second shoulder surgery for Brandon Woodruff. It's really hard to come back for that. He already had really diminished velocity, and while he was still able to be really effective, generally this is the kind of thing that can be a career ender. I mean, if you remember, Johan Santana had a bunch of shoulder surgeries and a bunch of issues with that, and he only he didn't pitch after his second surgery despite trying to come back. And that's kind of the vibe I'm getting here with Woodruff, of a guy that is just running on fumes. And I think it's given out on him. Now, Woodruff is a all-time really effective pitcher. I think you can say that. He career ERA plus. I'm just pulling this up now, not to make this like a moratorium, but just to, I think I got to give him his flowers. 137 career ERA plus. With the Brewers, he was just fantastic for the early 2010s Brewers teams. And since having that shoulder surgery, was actually able to be really effective despite the diminished velocity. But if you remember earlier in the year, he had some outings where he was tossing like 85. And yeah, I think this may be an old Yeller situation where I don't know if the dog's going to be barking much longer. But it's a little grim to say all that, you know what I mean? But this is really tough news for Brandon Woodruff. And I think there's two ways to look at it. On the first side of things, I mean, it's you can be really sad about the whole thing. But on the second, Woodruff just, you know, wanted to say if it's the last time we see him in the Major League Baseball this year, one of the best pitchers, I think, of the generation on a rate basis. And it's sad you don't see more, but you're really happy that he was an anchor to that Brewers rotation. Sal Frelich, as we move on here, goes to the 10-day IL with a right shoulder strain. Drew Thorpe, you remember him, Drew Thorpe, White Sox pitcher? He begins a rehab assignment. So the changeup heavy righty is set to come back sometime this year, hopefully. A couple transactions to note. Danny Colombe has been released, outright released by the Boston Red Sox, despite pretty decent numbers overall. Logan Allen has been recalled for the Cleveland Guardians, and Julio Rodriguez has been activated from the 7-day concussion IL. So that's going to be the news and notes. Kept it, well, marginally shorter. But we now move on to the notable performances, where I go over the top hitters of the top hitters and pitchers of the day from yesterday. And I'll start with my hitter of the day. That's going to be Stephen Kwan. Because Stephen Kwan's actually been really good in the month of July. He's had a rough year, very limited power, a lot of the power steal upside for Kwan. A guy, and, you know, he's not crazy. He's not Ronald Acuna or anything, but he's usually able to get like 20 steals, double-digit home runs. Not on pace for that at all. Well, he's had a really good day at the plate yesterday. In a doubleheader, ends up going to the plate 7 times, getting 6 at-bats, 5-for-6 with a walk and a double. Kwan absolutely making the most of his plate appearances, and just he's been really good in the month of July, hitting around 400 with a few extra bases in there. A lot of knocks for Stephen Kwan. That's been something that's been hard to come by for him. So giving him his flowers here, that is a really excellent performance. Travis Bazzana goes 3-for-7 with a pair of walks, a home run, and a triple in the combined doubleheader. I like to combine the stats for those. Colt Keith goes 4-for-4, all singles, but a nice day for the Tigers middle infielder. Spencer Torkelson has him beat, though, 2-for-4, but both hits a pair of home runs. The Athletics offense went crazy, and I could specify, but I think it's just better to say 13 hits, 15 runs, 7 walks, 3 hit by pitches. They got on base 23 times during this outing, 3 balls clearing the fence. It was a great performance up and down the lineup. Every single player in that lineup got on base. It was excellent. Cole Young goes 2-for-4 with a game-tying 3-run home run. More on that in a bit later. Jackson Churio, an all-around performance here. 1-for-3 with a 2 stolen bases and 2 walks. Christian Yelich goes 1-for-3 with 2 walks, a stolen base, and a double. Garrett Mitchell goes 3-for-5 with a double and a stolen base. Evan Carter, 2-for-4 with a home run and a walk. Willier Abreu goes 2-for-4, a pair of home runs, or 2-for-3 rather. 2 of those hits going over the fence, walks for him. He has been outrageous in the month of July. Ketel Marte goes 2-for-3 with a walk. Fernando Tatis Jr. goes over the fence. It's a home run and a 1-for-2 day. Pair of walks and a stolen base. Phenomenal day for Fernando Tatis Jr. Carter Jensen goes 2-for-3 with a walk and a double. Dylan Beavers 2-for-4 with a double in an otherwise uneventful game. Jose Trevino goes 3-for-4 with 2 home runs. I was thinking about making him my hitter of the day. Looked a bit at the underlying metrics. Not quite so favorable, but nevertheless, it's been a good month for Jose Trevino. I've always loved the guy. Jake McCarthy goes 2-for-4, double and a stolen base. TJ Rumfield continues to confound me in how he does so well. 4-for-5 with a home run for the Rockies first baseman. Vlad Guerrero Jr. goes 2-for-3 with a walk and a double. Trey Turner 3-for-4 with a home run and a walk. Kyle Schwarber 1-for-3 home run, a pair of bases on balls. Cody Clemens goes 2-for-4 with a pair of home runs. Pete Cole Armstrong goes 0-for-5 with 3 Ks. I want to point out he slumped in the second half last year. He's been 1 of 18 in the last 5 games. Now, Pete Armstrong may absolutely make everyone look silly and go on a tear, but something to keep note. He's been struggling a bit at the plate lately. And finally, Michael Busch, 1-for-4, home run and a walk. And I wanted to point this one out because that home run went to Anthony Rizzo. Hit it right into the right field bleachers where Anthony Rizzo was sitting. And you know what? Isn't baseball wonderful? Check out the Daily Batters Box article for more information on all of these hitters and then some. I'm going to take a short break and come back with my review of the starters from yesterday, the reliever report, and my preview of today's games. See you in a bit. All right, welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast. We move on now to talk about the starting pitchers, and sometimes I talk about pitchers that are likely on your waiver wire, some guys that are less big household names, and sometimes I talk about guys that are the absolute cream of the crop, and I don't know if there's another bigger name in baseball pitching right now than Tarik Skubal, who had a gem of a start. 7 innings, no earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 9 Ks, 87 pitches on just 87 pitches. I mean, crazy. 19 whiffs, 37 CSW percent. It is well and truly a performance deserving of my Pitcher of the Day award. It was against the Angels, so there's that. But overall, this is a really good performance. It is, I've been saying this for weeks, one of his last performances for the Tigers, I have to imagine. I really do not think that Skubal is staying a Tiger. There's been some buzz about that, but I think it'd be an absolutely foolish decision to make. Don't pull an Angels Ohtani situation here, guys. Just don't do that. Great start. It's a great start. The changeup when it is on is just so devastating. It's so unusual for a lefty to have a changeup that dynamic, and he pulls it off so well. You know who Tarik Skubal is by now. He's had 2 Cy Youngs. He's a phenomenal pitcher. But yes, Pitcher of the Day for the Southpaw. JT Ginn goes 6 1/3, no earned runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, 7 Ks on 82 pitches, 11 whiffs, 29 CSW percent. Confounding JT Ginn, but a really nice kind of breakout season. Grayson Rodriguez goes 4 innings, 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts on 87 pitches for the Angels, 11 whiffs, 25 CSW percent. I think it is well and truly over for Grayson Rodriguez. You kind of knew that when he got traded to the Angels anyway, but he has been struggling since coming back. He has not looked the part, and for a guy that was a former top 10, I think top 5 prospect, certainly in some lists, it's just kind of, you know, there's no such thing as a pitching prospect. Now, there's your case of evidence here. Logan Webb, really interesting outing. Goes 6 2/3, 3 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks on 100 pitches even. Cole Young, was able to get all 3 of those earned runs against him in the 7th, but 15 whiffs, 32 CSW percent, and it was a very changeup heavy arsenal from Logan Webb, even more so than usual. Pumped it in 35% of the time. Great outing from Logan Webb after sputtering a bit the last couple. So hopefully a strong second half to come. Trevor Rogers, maybe the most underrated pitcher in baseball, goes 6 1/3, 1 earned run, 7 hits, 1 walk, 8 K is 99 pitches, 12 whiffs, 32 CSW percent, A plus PLV grade for the Baltimore Orioles starter. Shane Bieber, okay. Hold on, folks. 6 innings, no earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, 80 pitches, 13 whiffs, 33 CSW percent. Really good command, really good stuff. PLV didn't love the command that much. I think that's because of a couple stray fastballs that got graded as an F. If you look at the actual pitch mapping, there is bands, recognizable bands, fastball, changeup, curveball, really excellent locations for Bieber. And hold on a minute, I was really starting to doubt Bieber. His ERA was crazy high, and this is a really nice start. Everything looked a lot better, a lot sharper, so maybe we can pump the brakes. I can pump the brakes on my criticism of him here, but this was really effective. Taj Bradley goes 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks, 94 pitches on a rough start in Wrigley, 13 whiffs, 30 CSW percent. The fastball just wasn't working. The four-seamer did not have the bite it normally does. That thing usually really rises on batters. Not so much today, and it ended up really hurting Taj. The cutter and the splitter are still kind of a revelation for him as far as getting the whiffs, which the fastball does not do, but nevertheless, rough outing. And finally, Gavin Williams, one of the weirdest starts of the year. 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 7 hits. Sounds rough. No walks, 11 strikeouts on 84 pitches. It's so weird. Baseball's so weird. 16 whiffs, 36 CSW percent. He should be my pitcher of the day, except a lot of things went over the fence, and just he just got crunched at inopportune times. BPLV grade. If you are a fantasy manager, this is where you got to look at what went on in the game, what were the outcomes, and how much do those outcomes predict, or how predictable were those outcomes, basically. And I think for here, you look at the strikeouts, you look at the walks, you look at the just general effectiveness when you're talking about the whiffs and stuff. This is a good outing for Gavin Williams that I think was crunched in a way that I don't think is predictive of future outings. Trying to go a little off script to talk about this outing a little bit more, so forgive my lack of clear verboseness. But Gavin Williams, weird start here, but I still think he's really good against a pesky Pirates lineup. I think he can just kind of write this one off as a little unlucky, but overall pretty solid. Anyway, that is Conversations for the Plus Pitch podcast, which you can find at the Pitchless Podcast Network. Give that a listen and check out Nick and Jake's daily SP roundups for more information on all these pitchers and then some. As we now move on to the reliever report, where I go over who got the saves and who blew it from yesterday's games. Louis Varland picks up his 20th save of the year for the Toronto Blue Jays, Twins legend. Aroldis Chapman goes and gets his 21st save for the blooming Boston Red Sox. Paul Sewald picks up his 23rd save of the year for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Cam Sanders picks up his first for the Baltimore Orioles in a 12-inning crazy game against the Astros. Not that crazy of a 12-inning game, frankly. Jacob Latz goes and gets his 19th save of the year for the Rangers, and Trevor Megill picks up his 15th for the ever-bizarre situation in the Milwaukee bullpen. Who blew it? The Rays bullpen blew it against the Red Sox. Legumina, Sulcer, and Clevenger give up 4 runs in the 7th inning. All of them were responsible for runners. All of them were not able to be terribly effective, left a lot of runners on for Willie Abreu, who put one over the fence off the bat of Garrett Clevenger. All the runs come around to score, and they would end up getting a blown save and getting the loss. So that's going to be the reliever report. Check out Rick Graham's weekly articles for information on these guys. As we now look forward to today's slate of games, it is a full slate of games. It is also a Yankees-Dodgers doubleheader. I neglected to mention that at the top of the lineup, but it was postponed for inclement weather yesterday. Today, they're making that up for a doubleheader. So Yankees and the Dodgers on Sunday, going to be a lot of at-bats for your Ohtanis, your Freemans, your Rices, your alls to have you. No judge yet. I almost said that. But big names and a doubleheader, so be aware of that. So keep foreshadowing. Full slate of games. The White Sox at the Blue Jays. It is Sean Burke versus Trey Savage. Great outing from two erratic fastball pitchers. Pirates at the Guardians. Paul Skeens versus Joey Cantillo. Two of my favorite pitchers in baseball. The Rays versus the Red Sox. It is Shane McClanahan versus Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray has a 2.5 ERA or something right now. He's really underrated. But my game of the day is the Dodgers of the Yankees, particularly game one of the doubleheader, which is going to be Yoshinobu Yamamoto versus Cam Schlittler. These are going to be NL Cy Young vote getter Yamamoto. He's absolutely going to get some votes. And Schlittler, who is currently, I believe, still the favorite for the award, but it's going to be fireworks in the Bronx. And that's going to be my game of the day. And that's going to be the First Pitch podcast today. For a deeper dive into everything baseball, hop on to pitchless.com for further access. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to Discord, PLV apps, and support the Pitchless staff. And I will also be seeing you tomorrow. Jake is taking the week off, so I'm taking over for him. So you are going to have more of this lovely face for the next week or so. To cover the weekday games. But finally, my name is Carson McCard. You can find me on the Shallows Podcast with my great co-host Eric Henriksen, as well as on the website formerly known as Twitter at Carson McCard PL. Thank you very much for listening. Good luck with the rest of your weeks. Bless the knees, bless the elbows, and take care, you guys.